There's a war being waged over our souls. We talked about it last week, the battle for your mind, how we stand firm and see the deliverance of God, how God fights for his people. He promises to do that, but he also wants to include us. He doesn't just want to fight all our battles. He wants to make us the warriors, doesn't he? So he's looking for soldiers. He's looking for warriors who can overcome and conquer. He's making us into superheroes. Do you know that? That's what he says. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're superheroes. How many of you had the little cape when you were a kid? Wonder Woman or Superman or whatever it was. I had my Spider-Man underoos, my special outfit. I was ready to take on the world. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Every conqueror, every hero has to have a weapon, right? A superpower, a weapon of some sort. But not just any weapon. It has to be a weapon that is fit for the battle. No point bringing a sword to a gunfight. You'll lose, unless you're really fast. unless the government takes away your bullets, and then the advantage is yours. But there's one weapon that will work in your hands in every single fight that you face. It's a weapon that will turn the tables on your enemy and give you the advantage. It's a game changer. It's a battle finisher. The weapon I'm talking about today is peace. Peace. How many people enjoy watching the old westerns? One of my favorites is Wyatt Earp. Wyatt Earp. Doc Holliday. Actors like John Wayne. What did you see strapped to the side of every decent cowboy, sheriff, and marshal in the Old West? His gun. Colt single action army revolver. The Colt 45. Wyatt Earp had a long barrel version of this. You know what that weapon was called? The Peacemaker. It wasn't just a nickname. It was actually called the Colt Peacemaker. If you look at Wyatt Earp's guns, which are on display in museums, it says the Peacemaker. Actually, Wyatt Earp was a very gentle man. No, but he was a peacemaker. Both the man and the weapon were peacemakers. They used the power of peace. I've called this sermon the Peacemaker. You see, we aren't just called to have peace. We are called to make peace. We have to go after peace. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here, the apostle quotes Psalms 34, starting in verse 9, and says, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the peace that comes from only you. We ask that this morning you would train us and teach us to be the peacemakers that come on behalf of heaven. Lord, put the enemy under our feet today. Teach us what it is to brand the weapon that comes from heaven, the weapon of peace. Open our ears and open our hearts now to receive your word. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scriptures tell us that if we would love life and see good days, that's a good thing, isn't it? To love life and see good days. We want these things, we have to live a certain way. These things don't just come automatically. How many know they don't come automatically, loving life and seeing good days? As much as we wish they would, we find often we have to wrestle for the blessing, don't we? And so here we see that if we want to love life and see good days, we have to seek peace and pursue it. Those are imperative action words. It doesn't come to the timid or the mild. Ironically, peace comes to those who chase it down. Seems really strange, because peace seems like this calm where we don't have to chase. We don't have to pursue. That's what peace is meant to be. But the way we get peace in our lives, the only way we can get peace in our lives, is to deal with the enemy Because as we talked about last week, the battle rages for your mind over you, and it goes on and on and on. And so in order to have peace, you have to deal with the enemy of your soul, the devil who brings the fight to your doorstep all the time. But your enemy's twofold. It's not just the devil. You can't just say the devil made me do it all the time. We have a part to play as well. And our sinful nature is also our enemy. It's the war being waged. Our two natures. Paul says in Romans that his inner being delights in God's law. But there's another law at work, and it wages war with the members of his body. It's his sinful nature, which he says the sinful mind is hostile to God. So there's this hostility that's in each one of us all the time because of these two natures, the spiritual man and the fleshly man. And so there's this battle all the time. So how do we find peace? No wonder people are always tired, stressed, frazzled. Because we can't find that peace. Because there's this war going on all the time. But Jesus, he's our Prince of Peace, and he's come. And he's made peace between God and man. He has made peace between God and man. And so God is calling you today to take the battle to the enemy, amen, to be peacemakers. So I want you to get your peacemaker weapon out. Because through the Word of God today, I want to load your weapon with ammunition. Colt 45 was a six shooter. So today I'm going to give you six verses. Six rounds of ammunition to fire at the enemy. And if you do, you'll find you're a peacemaker. So that you can love life and see good days. Enjoy the peace he has won. These six scriptures are going to cover three types of ammunition. And I'm going to give you two scriptures for each type of ammunition so that when you fire upon the enemy, you're not shooting blanks. How many people do that sometimes? They fire at the enemy and they're just caps going off. It's like of no effect. We have to have the Word of God. Amen. To have effect. If you shoot these bullets, the Word of God promises you will be a peacemaker. The three types of ammo I want to talk about today, I call the tudes. The tudes. They are gratitude, attitude, and latitude. Now, it may sound cutesy and fun, but they're very powerful. Gratitude, having a thankful heart. Attitude, having the right perspective and approach. And latitude, having the right position. Knowing your position. So I'm going to give you two scriptures for each of these areas, and I want you to load these scriptures into the chamber of your peacemaker. So gratitude, first off. The first verse we're going to load is Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says this, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." Skip down a verse to verse 17. "And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." To allow God's peace to rule in our hearts. If we do that, we'll be peacemakers. The word rule there actually means to umpire. You let him call the shots. What's a ball? What's a strike? What's fair? What's foul? The peace decides. The peacemaker decides. Let it rule. Let it lead. Let it guide. But how do we do that? How do we let the peace of God rule right here? Well, it tells us, doesn't it? It says, and be thankful. And then at the end of that verse, it says, in everything, whether in word or deed, do it all, giving thanks. Because when we're thankful, we're pointing back to the source. If we're not thankful, we easily lose track of the source. We so often take for granted the everyday blessings that come from God. And our focus isn't on him because we're not thankful. And as a result, when all the stuff that comes from him disappears or vanishes, what else vanishes? Our peace, right? If your focus is on the stuff, and what's in front of you and how you feel instead of being thankful, then when everything hits the fan, then your peace hits the fan. We have to let him rule in our hearts. And if we do that, when we're thankful, we keep our eyes on the source. Amen. So that our peace remains. So then it doesn't matter what happens because he's our source anyway. That's what happens when you're a thankful person. When you're a thankful person and wash your heart with thanksgiving and speak words of gratitude to God. Get your focus on him and off of your problems, and then you can keep your peace. You can make your peace through thanksgiving, through gratitude. The second scripture that has to do with the ammunition of gratitude that I want to load in your peacemakers, Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And what happens? "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see that? Peace of God comes as a result of thanksgiving. Choosing the appropriate action when we're in combat or when we're stressed or when things aren't coming together. Paul says, don't be anxious, but ask with thanksgiving. I got to put this into practice as I was preparing this very part of my sermon. I was just writing down these scriptures, and it was one evening this week, and I was so tired. And it was about 7:30, and I thought, man, I could just go to bed right now. But I knew I had to prepare. And so I was so tired, I was getting anxious. I'm like, if I don't get this done tonight, I'm just not going to get it done. And I just written out this verse, and all of a sudden I felt God smile as the penny dropped. Hello? And I thought, all right, let's try this out. So instead of focusing on being anxious and focusing on being so tired, I just smiled and said, God, I thank you. I thank you for this word. I thank you that you are my creator, my sustainer. All my energy comes from you anyway. All my understanding comes from you anyway. Yeah. And so I said, God, I ask that you would give me the energy and the clarity and the strength to prepare your word. Like that. It wasn't 30 seconds and I was racing through. Stayed up for 2 hours. Put it into practice. Try it. Give thanksgiving instead of focusing on the problem. Thank God and the peace will come. And it will guard your hearts and your minds. That word guard is very powerful. In the Greek, I want to kind of read to you, I won't read the actual Greek word, but the guard there, to guard your hearts and minds, actually means to protect by military guard, either to prevent a hostile invasion or to keep the inhabitants of a besieged city from flight. Okay? So, do you get the picture? It's twofold. Keeps the battle out and keeps you from going, ah, and running out to the battle. Right? That's what peace does. Because when your city's besieged, you want to run. But it says the peace of God will guard. It's an armed guard that you invoke with thanksgiving. If you present your prayer request to God with thanksgiving, the peace of God all of a sudden stands to attention and starts patrolling your mind and your heart to keep hostile invasions out and to keep you from freaking out. It keeps you in your castle because your castle, the provision of the Lord, is your strength. It's power and security in what God's given you, but our tendency is to flee because we're besieged. God says, let invoke peace. Make peace by being thankful, and that peace will be the armed guard that patrols your heart and your mind, keeps you right where God wants you. So this military armed guard is called peace, and it keeps the enemy out through the action of gratitude and keeps you safe and secure. So use gratitude as ammunition. Use those two scriptures as the first two parts of ammo in your peacemaker. You'll find the peace of God guarding you. The second type of ammunition for your weapon is attitude. You have to get a little crazy if you want peace. You have to be radical and a little bit on edge if you're going to take on the enemy. Because we already said the only way to have peace is to deal with the enemy. You have to be a little crazy to do that. Just the right amount of crazy. But you have to seek peace and pursue it. That's what we read. Seek peace and pursue it like a madman. You think I'm going over the top here? Turn to 2 Kings. It's a beautiful story here. I love it. 2 Kings chapter 9. We're going to read here a man named Jehu. He was anointed by Elisha to be the king of Israel. There was only one problem. There was already a king of Israel and a king of Judah. But they were under the thumb of Jezebel. And so Elisha anoints Jehu and says, "You're the man." So Jehu knew that if there was going to be peace, he would have to deal with the enemy. He'd have to deal with the wickedness in the land. So he headed toward Jezreel, the town where these two kings, the kings of Israel and Judah, were staying. And we pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 9, starting in verse 17. When the lookout standing on the tower in Jezreel saw Jehu's troops approaching, he called out, "I see some troops coming." "Get a horseman," Joram ordered. "Send him to meet them and ask, 'Do you come in peace?'" The horseman rode off to meet Jehu and said, "This is what the king says. Do you come in peace?" "What do you have to do with peace?" Jehu replied. "Fall in behind me." The lookout reported, "The messenger has reached them, but he isn't coming back." So the king sent a second horseman. And when he came to them, he said, "This is what the king says. Do you come in peace?" Jehu replied, "What do you have to do with peace? Fall in behind me." The lookout reported, "He has reached them, but he isn't coming back either. The driving is like that of Jehu, son of Nimshi. He drives like a madman." Hitch up my chariot, Joram ordered. And when it was hitched up, Joram, the king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, rode out, each in his own chariot, to meet Jehu. They met him at the plot of ground that belonged to Naboth, the Jezreelite. When Joram saw Jehu, he asked, "Have you come in peace, Jehu?" Watch this. "How can there be peace?" Jehu replied, "as long as all the idolatry and witchcraft of your mother Jezebel abound." And then he kills them. And then he goes off and deals with Jezebel and kills her too. If you want peace, you have to get radical with sin. You have to. Jehu was a little crazy. In fact, he was so crazy that his driving record preceded him. You notice that? They didn't even know who was coming at them. But they said, "That guy drives like Jehu. He's crazy. That guy's crazy." It's actually why I don't put a fish on my car or any Christian symbols. Now, not because I necessarily drive crazy, but I don't want to be a stumbling block just in case. I don't want someone to curse God because of me passing them. I don't think Jehu had the fish symbol on the back of his chariot. But notice how Jehu's attitude towards peace. The enemy comes to him and says, "Let's have peace. Do you come in peace?" He says, "What do you have to do with peace? Fall in behind me." His attitude was one of, "You have nothing to do with peace. Wickedness has nothing to do with peace. You have to get rid of it if you're going to find peace. You have to." So you have to get aggressive with it. You have to get crazy. God will fight some battles for you, but he expects you to deal with some yourself. To get rid of sin in your life. That's why Jesus said, if your arm offends, you cut it off. If your eye offends, you pluck it out. He's not talking literally, but he's talking, get serious with sin, with wickedness, because it stops the flow of peace from getting to you. Interferes with God's peace and blessings in your life. So it's just not worth it. Deal with it. Get aggressive. Get crazy. So guys, if you struggle with pornography, you may have to get rid of your computer. That sounds radical, I know. But is it worth it? Maybe you don't have to go that far, but take off your internet browser and say, "Well, I need my computer." Find a way to get serious with sin. If your problem is over shopping and materialism, cut up your credit cards. Whatever God's putting his finger on, deal with it aggressively. It's not time for games. Your peace depends on it. It's not something that was causing me to stumble, but about 2 weeks ago, God put his finger on something in my life. And my hockey team. Kind of. I was praying and have a conversation with the Lord about going to the next level with him. And he identified something very clearly to me in my life that was taking a higher place than it needed to. That was my TV. I'm the last person that would think of getting rid of their TV. Because I love sports. I do. And so when I'm tired and I'm at, in the evenings after a long day, if there's sports on, I just sit and I watch sports. Because I love it. I enjoy it. It's how I unwind. So the Lord had kind of insinuated a couple months ago about something in this regard. And I kind of was like, yeah. I'll cut back. But when I was praying and said, God, I want to move to the next level with you, he put his finger right on it and said, I want that. And so Liz came home about half an hour later and I shared what I thought the Lord was telling me. And she's like, great. She gets her husband back. No. So I picked up the phone. I called my satellite provider and said, cut it. And they said, we can put you on 6 months hold. I said, no, cut it. I want to get serious with this thing. Like I said, it wasn't just causing me to stumble, but it's keeping me from where God wants me to go. And so I just cut it. And we now have the biggest HD computer monitor on our block because our TV became our computer monitor. So, because there's no satellite, no point. So we just thought, well, make use of it somehow. It's funny, though. Our kids still stand about 3 feet away from it, trying to play their game. Like, back up. So big. But God put his finger on it. And so I'm learning. I'm learning to get rid of that which just keeps me from God's blessings in my life. Now, it may not be forever. I don't know. I still watch movies from time to time. But if God put his finger on that too, I would do it. So get crazy. Get a little crazy. Be a crazy Christian that gives up things for God. Because you know what? I have so much peace since I did that. So much joy. There's not even an inkling of, man, I wish I didn't. Because the peace of God is guarding my heart and mind. I love that. I've already experienced more intimacy with God, and I'm looking forward to more. So get serious. Get crazy about the things that stand in the way of you and peace. So have the right attitude. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace for the wicked. So if there's wickedness in your life, cut it off. This leads me to my second passage on attitude. The fourth bullet in your peacemaker is Hebrews chapter 12. So we've got two bullets of gratitude so far, one bullet of attitude, and here's the fourth one. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer's talking to us about discipline and enduring hardship. And we're encouraged to have the right attitude when it comes to this. See Hebrews 12 verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you've forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Now verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. We're told here to make sure we have the right view of hardship, the right attitude when it comes to hardship in our life, when it comes to the discipline of the Lord. It says, don't make light of it. God wants it, give it to him. God puts his finger on it, change it. Don't make light of it. Don't think it's a small thing. It's keeping you from peace. Don't make light of it. Take it seriously, but also don't lose heart. Have the right attitude. Don't get down in the dumps. God's taken away everything from me. Take heart. Because God's treating you like a son. And embrace the training regimen that the Lord has you on, because it's leading you to a harvest of what? Righteousness and peace. A harvest. A whole harvest. If you embrace God's discipline. So we have to have the right attitude when it comes to receiving correction from the Lord. I'm working on that with my three boys right now. A lot. Age 6, 4, and 2. We're in the throes of training. And as I try to impart to them the importance of listening and paying attention and obeying the first time, so many times I have to correct them because they were not paying attention properly. They heard my words, but their brain was just somewhere else. Or they get distracted and forget what I told them. God has this problem with us all the time. I think most of us have spiritual ADD. We go along listening to the Lord and all of a sudden, squirrel. Doesn't take much, does it? Doesn't take much to get you off track from where God has you going. So he's doing this with us all the time, training, saying, listen to me. Listen to my instructions to you. He implores us that we value it and prioritize it because it leads to something amazing. Look at what Isaiah 48:17 says. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. He's such a father. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. Your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Peace like a river if we pay attention. If we have the right attitude to listen. If he has our ear and we prioritize and value what he's asking us to do in his word, through his word, spoken to us. If we have the right attitude, peace comes like a river. One other point about our verse in Hebrews 12. You'll notice the context of why we should embrace the discipline of the Lord. Why we should have a good attitude, this attitude. It says in verse 7, endure hardship as discipline because God is treating you as sons. Here we see the final ammunition that I want to talk about today. And that's the ammunition of position. I want to load your peacemaker with the ammunition of position. If we know who we are and what our position is in God, then we will have his peace. We are his children, his sons, his daughters, whom he loves, he created. You know, as a child, there's such peace, such security from a loving father, a loving mother. I remember when I was young, I had a lot of nightmares as a child. And I remember watching the Ten Commandments, you know, the old, good old one with Charlton Heston. And that night in my bed, I was just riddled with fear because I thought I could hear Pharaoh's footsteps coming down the hall to get me. I was probably about 8 years old. And I couldn't shake it. And so I called for my dad. He came in and prayed with me. And then he left again, and there again, I would hear the footsteps. And I called for him again, and finally, he just stayed in my room. He had work to do, so he just pulled up my little desk and pulled a big chair up to it and had a little light going, and he was just writing, doing his work. He was a pastor. He's probably writing a sermon. But he just stayed there while I was in my bed, and I had such peace because my father was there. My father was there. Your father's with you, so you can have peace. There's strength and security that comes from knowing who your dad is. Your dad is strong. But God isn't just our father because he created us. He's our father because he adopted us. He chose us. What love, what acceptance, what security, what peace that brings when he says, I chose you. I, the God of heaven, chose you. You're my child. You're my son. Let God's peace come through that knowledge. Brings us to that ammunition of position. So there's two bullets left inside your six shooter that are called the ammunition of position. And I'm going to give you both verses right now. The first is Matthew 5, verse 9. And the second is Galatians chapters 3 and 4. Matthew 5, verse 9 is one of the Beatitudes. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Sons of God, or children of God. Peacemakers are those who understand their position. They understand they are God's son, God's child. And when you understand your position, it gives you authority to deal with the enemy. So we've talked about dealing with the enemy with the attitude, but if you just go with attitude and no latitude, it won't work. The latitude is your position. Why can you defeat the enemy? Because of your position. You are God's child. You have the authority to overcome evil and sin in your life, to beat back the enemy and take back the ground he's stolen. You can do this because you're God's child. Not only that, but our final bullet, Galatians chapter 3 and 4, tell us more. Please turn there because I want you to see this. It's really important. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Paul's going through here the explanation of our position in Christ. You have to have the legal position, you understand. Even in the Old West, everyone carried a peacemaker, but the fight had to be legal. Either it had to be a fair fight, or you had a badge. You're a sheriff, a deputy, a marshal. And it gave you authority to discharge your firearm. With authority. I want to put the ammunition in your gun today that gives you the authority to do that very thing. Fire it at the enemy with the authority that comes from God. So look here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you are baptized into Christ, having clothed yourself with Christ. Verse 29. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. 4:1. What I am saying here is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to the guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, we were under the slavery of the basic principles of this world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. Say full rights. Full rights of sons. This is your constitutional right. It's a charter of rights and freedoms for every believer. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. We have such a little grasp of what that means because it's too fantastic to understand, isn't it? It's well beyond our comprehension how we can be an heir with Christ. But it's true. It's true. And it's about time the body of Christ started to exercise the authority of that, to deal with wickedness, to deal with the enemy of your soul. We have to be peacemakers. And this position in Christ, we're children because we have faith in Christ. We're his child. But as long as we're a child, we're no different than a servant. See, a lot of us are in this place. We're God's child, but we stay at that child level. And we're bound by the trustees, basic principles of this world. But Jesus came to set us free from that. He didn't leave us there just as children. He wants to give you full rights as sons, which means you have not only access to the estate, you have authority to act on his behalf. Amen. Authority, legal authority, right, to act on behalf of the God of heaven. Right. That's what it means to have a full right as son. Our position in Christ is so immense. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has also made you an heir. Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 8. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. See, it's just It's not just about our position as children, protected by the peace of God. That's the first step when we become a believer. We're protected by the peace of God. But Jesus came to make us peacemakers. He wants you to be a peacemaker along with him, to exercise the authority. That's why he made you an heir. It's not just for eternity, it's for now. It's for now. What are we going to exercise authority over in eternity? Maybe people and animals, but that's the easy stuff. We have to exercise authority now. He's given us the ability to exercise authority now because we're heirs. So he gives you his marshal badge. He says, now go, take dominion. Go, heal the sick. Go, raise the dead. Go, set the prisoners free. Go, destroy the works of the enemy. That's what he came to do. That's what he came to get you to do. Be a peacemaker. Understand your position and take authority. He's already qualified you. Stop believing the lie that you're just a child. You are a child, but you're also a son, a full right, heir of God. Through his cross, he chose you for himself. And if he's done that, made you his son or his daughter, then he's also made you an heir to inherit all that he has. You're an heir to the throne of heaven, co-heir with Christ. Don't just seek the peace that comes from being sheltered from trouble. Not just the peace that comes from being sheltered from the storm, but the peace that comes by overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's the peace that he came to give you. Those whom the Son set free are free indeed to exercise that peace, to use your peacemaker. So stand with him. Seek and pursue that peace. Seek peace and pursue it. Go after it. So, now you're fully loaded. Your peacemaker has in it three types of ammo. Use the ammunition of gratitude to find the peace that guards your heart and your mind. Next, find the right attitude. Get a little crazy and serious about sin. And use the peace that comes like a river when you listen to what he has to tell you. Finally, use the weapon of latitude. Fire the authority of your position at the enemy. Use it. Gun is only as good as it is believed going to be used. If you walk in there with a gun and the enemy knows you're not going to fire it, it's not much of a deterrent. We need to start firing the weapon of peace. Firing the weapon of our authority in Christ. Take your place as a peacemaker. Your place as an heir with Christ. Claiming what Jesus has already won. You see, you're not making the battle. You're not winning the battle. It's already been won. You're on cleanup operation. And you've got a peacemaker by your side to make sure it happens. Battle's already won. It's not just what he's delivered you from. It's what he's delivered you for. What has he delivered you for? That's what I want to live. That's loving life and seeing good days. What he's delivered us for. To inherit all things. To be a peacemaker. And overcome the enemy. So if you use that peacemaker that you have at your side. Of gratitude. Use the weapon, the ammo of gratitude, attitude, and latitude. Then you will know what it is to love life and see good days. Because you will turn from evil and do good. And you will seek peace. And pursue it. And because the Prince of Peace is fighting on your side, or has already fought on your side and won the battle, then Paul can say this, and with this I'll close, in Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under whose feet? I'd say under my feet. The God of peace does it. The peace that comes from heaven puts the devil under your feet. And it's coming soon. And it's coming sooner for those who learn to use their peacemakers. Learn to fire that weapon. Let's stand and pray. God of peace, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that the battle has a certain outcome. Lord, we thank you that the battle that comes to our door, Lord, the victory's already been won. Teach us this day, Lord, to use your word as a peacemaker in our lives, to walk out the word of God, Lord, to fire our weapon, Lord, to be grateful people of God, and so have your peace, to get serious with the sin in our lives, and so have your peace, Lord, and to use our authority in you, Lord. No, let it not be information today. Let it be revelation from your word, Lord. Empower your people. Embolden your people. Arm your people with strength today, I pray, that they may fight the battle of peace and win. Lord, put the enemy under their feet. Father, I thank you that you've promised you're going to do it. You put Satan under their feet. Lord, I pray that we would walk in victory these days, that no matter what the storm says, no matter what the situation says, the peace of God would rule in our hearts. Lord, now I bless your people with peace. I say the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so I bless you and dismiss you now in Jesus' name. Amen.